This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. On Monday, February 27th, 2017, right-wing Republican Representative Rick Saccone announced his campaign to challenge PA's Democratic Senator Bob Casey in the 2018 midterm elections. Saccone represents the 39th District in Western PA, which includes parts of Allegheny and Washington counties. Saccone is perhaps best known for introducing and passing a bill declaring 2012 the Year of the Bible. Saccone was elected to the PA House as part of the Tea Party sweep of the 2010 midterm elections. Saccone is introduced by Tim Barton, the president and COO of Wall Builders, a right-wing Christian organization founded by his father, David Barton. Here's how Americans United for the Separation of Church and State describes Wall Builders. Quote, Wall Builders was founded by David Barton, a former Christian school teacher in Texas who has carved out a lucrative niche for himself by promoting the idea that the United States was founded to be a Christian nation. Named by Time magazine as one of the most 25 influential evangelicals, Barton uses Wall Builders, which has both for-profit and non-profit arms, to attack mainstream history, insisting that church-state separation was not the intention of our founders. Unquote. Saccone's announcement was held in the PA Capitol Rotunda. His audio was recorded by Sean Kitchen of Raging Chicken Press.
It's an honor to be here, Rick. My dad wishes he could have been here. Sends his greetings along the way. But, you know, this is an interesting time in our nation. It's a very complicated time. There's a lot of issues our nation is facing, but it's not the first time we've dealt with complicated issues in America. In fact, our nation was birthed in the midst of a very complicated and troubling time. But there were leaders who came forward who had answers, who had ideas and solutions. In fact, one of the things that the leaders that gave us this nation explained was that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that to secure these rights, governments were instituted among men. You know, it's interesting, Americans used to know that we have rights, and it wasn't because it was granted by a crown or a dictator, oligarchy, or even a legislature, as it might be. They were rights from a creator, and the governments that were created to protect the rights that were birthed before government even existed. Why that's significant is because the greater the government, the less freedom individuals have. So you have to have a government that understands they are not the creator and the sovereign over your life. Rather, they are the servants of the people. One thing that Rick has proven and shown, even when you look at what he did with the 60th anniversary of the national motto, In God We Trust, as he promoted that, well, it really identified that he understood that there was a creator outside of him and government, which is one of the most vital things you can look for when you look for a leader. And Rick understands that the purpose and role of government is to protect the rights that we've already been bestowed with. Well, one of the other things Rick presents in a very unique facet, if you look at the issue of the international climate. We've never had a time in American history, really probably since the World War II era, where we've had so many powerful enemies. Whether you look at nations like North Korea or Iran or China or Sharia supremacists like ISIS, we have enemies on more fronts than we've seen in a lifetime, and we need leaders who understand these dynamics, who know the nations that we are dealing with. Rick's experience and record can scarce be matched by any American, much less by any politician in Washington, D.C. Rick has worked in the intelligence field and already has a personal working knowledge of many of the players and of the problems America is facing. And America needs leaders who know these problems, but more importantly, know the solutions to the problems. And Rick's experience makes him unparalleled to anybody else. And the last thing I would point out is Rick does have a proven track record when you look at what he's done here as a state legislator. In fact, he is receiving an A rating from the NRA, 100% voting record from the NRA, and a 0% from Planned Parenthood. tells most Americans all they need to know. He believes in your right of self-defense, and actually he values life, which probably is why Planned Parenthood doesn't like him very much. But this is something, his voting record is proven and true. You can look at what he's done with economics, with helping promote job creation, with reducing taxes. Rick is someone, as we look at what we want to represent us in the Senate in Washington, D.C., we want people that have experience, that are well-rounded individuals. And when you look at what Rick provides, what he understands, he knows our enemies more so than most people already in D.C., even without the briefings they've had. He understands limited government. He promotes inalienable rights and the rights of freedom for individuals. He's not afraid of religious faith. And in fact, he understands the benefits of religious faith. He promotes practical economics and job creators. He actually wants to help put money back in the pockets of the people who actually earn the money. It's a pretty novel concept today. Rick has a philosophy and experience and leadership that we need in Washington, D.C., that we need in the Senate. Rick is the kind of leader that will represent the people of Pennsylvania without compromising his principles or making side deals for his personal gain. He is a man of great character who knows how to solve the problems America and more specifically Pennsylvanians are facing. It is my pleasure to introduce the next U.S. Senator for Pennsylvania, Rick Saccone.
Coming here today. Some of you have traveled so far to be here, 4 hours, 4.5 hour drives. Some of you, it's amazing. I'm so happy to see you all here. I thank you all for coming. I thank my colleagues for standing with me. I thank my friends, old and new, for standing behind me and with me. I thank Tim and his father has been an inspiration to me over the years, teaching about our godly heritage and inspiring me to go and do the actual research to write the book, God in Our Government. He's been a mentor and an inspiration to me, and Tim, I've enjoyed working with you also. He's following directly in his father's footsteps. I'm proud to know you as a friend, and I really thank you. Thank Pastor Dahl and Sam Rohr and the Pastors Network for supporting me and coming out. I thank you all for that. I even thank the media for turning out today and covering that. Thank you all for being here. So I'm standing here today because I believe our country is in peril because of our poor leadership. Now, we've elected a new president to place us on the right track, but the work isn't done. How do you like our new president, by the way? Woo! God bless our new president. And you know what was so wonderful? I really enjoyed it. I have to give props. We need to give a round of applause to our great First Lady, Melania Trump, who gave the Lord's Prayer at their rally. When have you seen that? When have you seen that? Thank you to our First Lady. God bless her also. As I said, we've elected a great president, but the work is not done. Our political culture is upside down in this country. If you haven't noticed, if you haven't been watching the news, we're all upside down. Our culture today is governed by greed and selfishness. I'll just give you a couple examples. Just remember this. While our veterans who served honorably and can't receive the proper health care, some of them dying while waiting for an appointment at the VA, while they can't get the proper health care, the WikiLeaks traitor Bradley Manning, while in prison, was given free health care and then was pardoned from prison by President Obama. That's upside down where I come from. How about with you? Give you another example. While we used to value free speech in our country, our youth are being taught to silence speech they don't agree with. Recently at the University of California, Berkeley, you might have noticed that the response of students there, at a great university where you're supposed to value free speech, the response of students who disagreed with the guest speaker there was to burn down the college. Those aren't the values that have made America great. So clearly our job is not over. We still have a little house cleaning to do. Senator Bob Casey is a remnant of that liberal philosophy that has helped create this mess. And he's up there in Washington right now undermining and sabotaging the new agenda that you voted for in November. He has voted against many of President Trump's cabinet picks, and unfortunately he will vote against his nominee for Supreme Court. And he'll vote against every future justice that Donald Trump nominates for the Supreme Court. And that's a problem. He's allowed our military to be depleted and our veterans to be neglected. We have any veterans in the room today? We need to honor our veterans. He's abandoned his father's zeal for the unborn, and he's become a supporter of Planned Parenthood. Are there any pro-lifers in this room today? He has stood silent while our government attacked our energy industry, coal and natural gas. He's done nothing for small business. He has a 20% rating by the National Federation of Independent Businesses. I have been declared a champion of small business by that same organization. He has refused to defend the assault on our religious liberty. Are there any believers in this room today? Betrayed our Second Amendment and betrayed the voters who sent him to Washington. Any Second Amendment lovers in the room today? That's why Bob Casey has to be replaced. And that is why I stand here today to announce my candidacy for the United States Senate. So people often ask me, they say, why do you run? Why do you run for office anyway? Why did you run to begin with? And why are you running now? And as you know, I'm a retired military officer. I have a half-funny story I want to share with you that may help explain that. As you know, I'm a retired military officer, and throughout my career, I always seem to get the assignments no one wanted. Maybe some of you who had military service can empathize with that or had that same experience. I never seemed to be assigned to the units that were running smoothly. I always seemed to be sent to the places no one wanted to go. Well, I retired from the military and I went into business thinking that would be the end of that. But it wasn't. And it wasn't long after I retired that I received a phone call. And on the other line, they said, Rick, we're having some problems with the North Koreans. The nuclear power plant project is in turmoil up there, and no one seems to want to go up and work on this. With all your experience in South Korea, the many years I spent in South Korea, they said, you seem like the man for the job. How about going up to North Korea and work on this project? Just see what you can do. Well, I went to North Korea, and it was rough. I was the only American living in North Korea, and I was there during 9/11. North Koreans are tough negotiators. It took me a while to understand them, but I eventually learned how to deal with them and achieved great success there. I returned back home, and I wrote two books about the experience. I came home, and I finished my PhD, and I went back to teaching at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Then the war in Iraq broke out. When things started to go sour, I got a call asking if I would like to go back over there. I thought that with my experience in counterintelligence, I should go and help out the many young soldiers there that needed some older heads to help them and guide them. I went to Baghdad, and when you go to Iraq, they tell you, just show up in Baghdad, and we'll tell you where you're going after you get there. They don't tell you exactly where you're going within the country. So I went to Baghdad, and I was arriving right after the Abu Ghraib prison scandal. Remember that? It was a terrible scandal, right? So it was a bad time in Iraq. And the leadership approached me. I was waiting in Baghdad for my assignment, and the leadership approached me, and they said, Rick, things are not going well over at the Abu Ghraib prison. It was a wretched place, housing the worst of the worst terrorists. And with the scandal, nobody really wanted to go over there. They said, would you be willing to go over to Abu Ghraib and try to help turn that place around? Just see what you can do, they said. I thought, well, it is the most famous prison in the world, and the worst of the worst terrorists are there. And you know, I'm from the Mon Valley. I like to be in the middle of a fight. We know how to fight in the Mon Valley. So I said, I want to be on the tip of the spear. So I went to Abu Ghraib prison, and it was a wretched place. But I worked hard, and we made great success there. But I wasn't there very long, because you may remember from the news that an insurgent walked into our dining hall in Mosul and blew himself up. And killed 20 soldiers and injured 60 others. It was in the international news back there in 2004. for in December of 2004. Sometime after that, the leadership approached me and they said, Rick, you're doing well over at the Abu Ghraib prison, but we have trouble up in Mosul. And you know we still have trouble in Mosul. We're trying to get it back again for those people and liberate that city again after President Obama gave it back to the insurgents. He said, do we have any problems up in Mosul? We have a handle on most of Iraq, but Mosul is still the place where people are most likely to get killed. No one wants to go up there. Would you be willing to go there and help to bring order and safety to the bases? Just see what you can do. Well, I went to Mosul, and I had to fire a lot of people, but I built a solid team, and over the rest of the year, we turned around our situation, making it one of the safest bases in Iraq, from worst to best. We saved a lot of lives along the way, and I'm proud of that. I came home and I wrote a book about it. Then I returned to teaching at St. Vincent College again. And then there was Harrisburg. It seemed like a real mess. Liberals ran the state house. Our Second Amendment rights were under assault. We hadn't passed a budget on time in years, and no one could get a handle on the spending up here. A couple dozen legislators were under indictment at that time. While no one said the actual words to me, I felt the call of someone saying, Rick, would you go up there? Just see what you could do. Well, I answered that call. I came to Harrisburg, and I worked with other legislators, my colleagues here, and my friends here to help us, guide us and help us write legislation. I worked to help clean up that mess. No retreat, no pulling back, no compromising on our values, because we have the people of Pennsylvania on our side, don't we? We balanced the budget 6 times, on time, with no tax increases and no borrowing. We drug test welfare recipients. I still get high fives for that back home. We passed tort reform and unemployment compensation reform. We passed legislation to shrink the legislature, and I introduced a bill for term limits. We toughened penalties for child sexual predators and other criminals. We passed the Castle Doctrine so people could lawfully defend themselves in their own homes. Working on property tax reform and the broken state pension system. We started privatizing the liquor stores. And we passed strong legislation to protect the unborn. Yeah, we did. And we're going to pass some more of it. We're going to pass some more of it. It's coming through right now. And now there's Washington, D.C. 8 years of an extreme progressive agenda running rampant, destroying our country. Obamacare, VA scandals, the rise of ISIS. It's been a mess for so long, people have almost given up. President Trump was elected to go drain the swamp, and I want to go and help him. We will set the country back on the right course, and then I'll come home. Oh, there'll be a lot of naysayers, don't get me wrong. Just like when the Israelites, before entering in the Promised Land, they sent out 12 scouts, and 10 of them came back and said, oh, we can't go in. We can't take the Promised Land. There are giants in the land. We're like little grasshoppers compared to them. We can't do it. And there are many people out there now saying the same thing about this race. Oh, you can't. There are giants in the land. Oh, you can't win. You can't win. Believe me, folks, these people may cast long shadows, but they are not giants. Bob Casey's no giant. They're small figures, and you will see that when we shine the light of truth on them. It's coming. We're going to do that. Today, many of our leaders are weak, and we know some of our leaders don't fully support the new agenda. Your agenda. The agenda that you voted in last November. We need a leader who will fight alongside our president. I want to be that leader. You know, many in the establishment still think they pick who governs over us. They'll try to cut deals at your expense. You keep an eye out for that. But what they don't know is we the people, pick who governs over us. Are you with me? people like you, real people, regular people, who want government to serve them, not the other way around. That's why it's upside down right now. And we need you to stand up and be heard. Are you ready to fight for your liberty? Are you with me? So I'll end with my favorite quote from Abraham Lincoln. I use it often because I really do try to live by it. He said this, "I like a man to be proud of the place he lives. I like a man to live so his place is proud of him. I'm proud of my community, my state, and my country. And I hope I will make you proud of me as your next U.S. Senator. Stay with me and help me win. God bless you and God bless America."